I trust you have a Bible here this morning. If you do need one to borrow, we do have some available at the entrance. Please let our ushers know if you'd like one. But thank you for turning with me there. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. And on this Father's Day, we are going to encourage our men and our fathers and young men to be mighty men for God. From 1 Chronicles chapter number 12, why don't we read verses 1 to 2 to begin with. Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. As we come to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter number 12, God sees fit to record for us some certain names and events that you and I may understand what is taking place. Here in verse number 1, the Bible says that David was in hiding. King David, before he would become king, we know he was anointed and he was meant to be the future king, was unfortunately and tragically hunted down by the king of the present day, King Saul. And Saul was after David's life. And David, not wanting to touch the Lord's anointed, fled from the presence of Saul. And here we find the record of David in hiding. The Bible says that he was hiding in Ziklag. He kept himself close because of Saul. That means he was hiding. Hiding from King Saul's men. Hiding from King Saul's army. And here in chapter number 12, God records for us a chronicle or a record of some of the mighty men that helped David in his time of need. You see, David did not overcome this trial on his own. The Bible says that there were a large number of mighty men, helpers in the battle, that were a blessing to David. Now notice chapter 12 follows after chapter 10, where Saul lost his life. The Lord dealt with Saul, did he not? The Lord dealt with Saul and David honored God. But after Saul had died, God inserts chapter 11 and chapter 12 in the book of Chronicles to record for us who these mighty men were. Now that's important. When God sees fit to look back and record some names and people and events, God wants us to look into His Word. God wants to get our attention. God wants us to see that verse number 1 tells us at the end of the verse, and they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. You see, David had some men of God that were mightily used of God in their day, and they were helpers in the battle. And they were mighty men. And let me say today that God is still looking for men of God today that would be helpers in the battle. And God is looking for young men today that would be helpers in the warfare of today, the spiritual battle that we face as Christians. The Apostle Paul was one of those mighty men of God. And he boldly said at the end of his life, I have fought a good fight. Is that not what he said? Amen. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And then to the young preacher, the young man Timothy, he said, Timothy, you need to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And he said to Timothy, you need to now fight the good fight of faith. And men, let me challenge you this morning. What we need on this Father's Day is a challenge to be a man of God. What we need on this Father's Day, young men, is a challenge to be a man of God. You see, God is looking for some mighty men this morning that would be helpers in the battle. And the moment that you received the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, friend, you were enlisted into the army of God. You were enlisted into a battle. Friends, we have a real enemy, and that is the devil himself. There is a heaven which is sweet, my friends. There is a hell which is hot, my friends. And the devil doesn't want anyone to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the gift of eternal life and the forgiveness of sins through His grace. We have been left here to be Christ's ambassadors, to tell the world about the gift of grace that is found in our wonderful Saviour, the captain of our salvation. We need to be careful, men, not to forget this morning that we are in a spiritual warfare. 2016 is not the time to sit back and get comfortable in the city of Cairns, amen. 2016 is not the time to rest while the world suffers for want of hearing the gospel. And as we look into the Word of God this morning, let me ask the question. Fathers, are you a helper in the war? Men, are you a mighty man of God? What is it that enabled these men to be used of God? Why does God give them such a important and exalted title to be a mighty man of God recorded in the eternal Word of God? Well, this morning we're going to look at their example. Look at a few principles from God's Word that would encourage our men and young men to be mighty men for God. Now, if you're a lady here this morning, please don't tune out, because God's truth is for us all. And you can be a woman used of the Lord in a mighty way. But this morning, I hope you don't mind, we're going to encourage our men. Amen. We're going to encourage our young men to be mighty men of God. Well, what do we notice first of all in 1 Chronicles chapter number 12? Why did God describe these men as mighty men? Why were they used of God in such a great way? Well, notice verse number 2 tells us very clearly, first of all, that these men were highly skilled. These men were highly skilled. Verse number 2 says that they were armed with bows and that they could use both their right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow. Notice that these were no ordinary men. They were skilled men. They were men that were in fact highly skilled. Now in biblical times, if a soldier could use both their left hand and their right hand to fight in a battle, they had a great advantage over the enemy. Because that means whether the enemy was encircling them, whether they came from in front or behind, they could use both hands to attack and defend at the same time. And that was a very, very great skill for any soldier to have. That means they would not be caught off guard easily. That means they could be used in a great way in the battle. Now, how many of you have ever tried to pick up a pen with the opposite hand and just to simply write your name? How many of you have ever tried that before? How many of you have ever tried to play a sport that you normally play and use the opposite hand to play? Maybe tennis, use the other hand, or maybe another sport. And I'm sure you would agree with me. Most of us, when we try to do that, use our opposite hand in anything we do, we could end up quite embarrassed. And it is quite embarrassing. Now, there are some that can use both hands to do many things. What do we call them? We call them ambidextrous. They could use the left and the right hand just as effectively, but most people don't have that skill, would you agree? Most people naturally can only use one hand over the other. That's how our children develop. As they grow, fathers, we see our children either becoming left-handed or right-handed, and there's always one hand that tends to dominate the other. But the Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 2, that these men were highly skilled. Why? Because they could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow. And let me convince you this morning that I believe this wasn't a natural gift. You see, notice from verses 3 to 7, there's a whole list of names of these ones who are highly skilled. Now, for the number of names that are in these verses, you and I would assume they weren't born with this skill, would you agree? No, this skill was an acquired skill. This skill was a skill that they developed over time. They had to train. They had to practice, would you agree? You can say amen. They had to be committed to the discipline of building up their skills for the battle. And you see, in order to be mighty men of God, to be helpers in the war, first of all, we learn the importance of being skilled in the battle. The importance of being highly skilled. You see, it would have taken time for these men to train. It would have taken some discipline. It would have taken some commitment. It would have taken a measure of effort to be able to use both the left and the right hand just as well as the other. Now that's impressive. And that's why God could use them in the cause of God in such a mighty way in their day. Now as Christians today, as men in the day in which we live, what do we learn from the Word of God? Well, we also learn today that it's very important we understand that God calls us also to be highly skilled in our weapons of warfare. God calls us to be highly skilled. If we are going to be used mightily for God, we need to know how to use our spiritual weaponry. Notice Ephesians chapter number 6 for a moment. We'll come back to 1 Chronicles. You might like to keep a bookmark there. Thank you for turning to the book of Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Fathers and men, if we are going to be used of God, we need to be skilled in the weapons of warfare, of spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter number 6. Notice verse 12 for a moment. The Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And we are reminded this morning we are not in a physical battle as Christians. We are engaged in a spiritual warfare. We are in battle, in essence, in verse 12, against spiritual powers, principalities, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And here in Ephesians chapter 6, God lists for us a list of spiritual armory that God calls us to put on each day. But the one weapon I'd like us to focus on is found in verse number 17. Notice verse number 17. Each part of this armor is designed for defense. But there is one weapon that God gives us in verse 17 that is created for attack. Verse 17, the Bible says, "And the sword of the Spirit, which is," say it, "the Word of God." You see, the Word of God, the divine Holy Word of God, is our spiritual weaponry in the day in which we live. And as God's people, as men today, we need to know how to use the Word of God. We need to be highly skilled if we are going to serve God and be used mightily in our day, would you agree? The Word of God is our spiritual weapon. Friends, the Word of God is quick, the Bible says. That means it is alive. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. You see, the Word of God is able to set men free. The Lord said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You see, the Word of God is able to free the souls of men from their sin. The Word of God is able to remove the blindfolds of sin and bring that sinner to the cross to receive Christ as Savior. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone, every single one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You see, the Word of God is our weapon in spiritual warfare. God expects us men to be highly skilled in the Word of God. He expects us not only to have a copy of the Word of God, but He expects us to know how to use His Word. Let me ask you this morning, men, are you a mighty man of God? Can you take the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and can you sit down with someone who is seeking the Lord and compassionately and lovingly and wisely share with them the truths of eternal life and lead that soul to Jesus Christ? Are you able to do that? Are you skilled in the Word of God? You see, men, if we are going to be used mightily of God, we need to know the Word of God. We need to know how to lead a soul to Jesus Christ. Christian, that is why God has left us here, amen? And this morning we need to be reminded we are in a spiritual warfare. Now's not the time to sit back and relax and plan our retirement, amen? Now is the time to go out into the highways and byways and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the question is, where are the men? Where are the men? Where are the men that are highly skilled in the Word of God. You know, I'm mindful as the Lord Jesus Christ began His earthly ministry for only 3 years. He began His earthly ministry at the age of 30. And how did He begin that ministry? He began with men. Now, ladies, no offense. As I've always said, the ladies were the last at the cross and the first at the tomb. And I would dare say that God started with men because they need the most help to be bold and courageous and to be used of God. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ began with men. He began with sinful men. He began with men that weren't strong naturally. He began with men that weren't necessarily skillful in the Word of God. But you see, there is one aspect that defined the way that the Lord Jesus Christ could use the disciples. One defining truth. Not because they were anyone special. Not because they had any special skill necessarily. But the Lord said to Peter of old, He said, "Come after Me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." What was the defining moment? The Bible says, "And immediately they forsook their nets and they followed Him." You see, these men weren't anything special, but they made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. They made a decision to be committed to Christ, their Savior. And they committed themselves to God, and the Lord Jesus used them in a mighty way because they were surrendered to be men used of God, to be trained, to learn, to become skilled in the Word of truth. Let me ask you, men and young men, are you becoming skilled in the Word of God? Do you know how to use God's Word to lead a soul to Jesus Christ for salvation? Now, before we go on, let me ask the question this morning. Perhaps there's someone here this morning that if you died today, you wouldn't be 100% sure of eternal life. Let me ask you before we go on, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life that you repented of your sins and you put your faith in Christ alone for salvation? I remember growing up in a religious family. You know, I prayed every day to Jesus. I prayed every morning to Mary. I thought my prayers were getting me to heaven. I asked the Lord every day to take me to heaven. But I never understood the Word of God. I never read the Bible much. I'm thankful for the time that the Lord led me to a church like this back in Sydney, and someone who was skilled in the Word of God shared with me the wonderful good news of the gospel. That Christ paid for our sins once and for all on the cross with His holy, sinless blood. The wrath and the justice of God was satisfied. And then on the third day, He rose again from the dead. So Romans chapter 10 verse 13 tells us, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. Friend, what a wonderful message. What wonderful good news that was to my heart. That Christ has paid it all. If we would simply repent and put our faith in Christ alone for salvation, we are forgiven once and for all, forever. Saved. Justified, redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning, fathers. Let me ask you this morning, young men. Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Are you 100% sure your sins have been forgiven and you are heaven bound? Friend, if you have a doubt this morning, please come and see us. We'd love to take the Word of God and show you how you can be sure of eternal life. Don't leave here this morning, whoever you may be, without knowing. God says we can know, and we must know. Now, Christian, look up here this morning. The gospel of Jesus Christ is why God has left us here. That is why we are here. We are ambassadors for Christ. We pray you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God. That's what the Bible tells us. We stand in Christ's place. We are not Jesus Christ, but we represent Him on the earth. We have the message of the gospel to share to others. That's how He has left us here. Friend, if you don't know how to take the Word of God and lead a soul to Jesus Christ, you are good for nothing. You might say, "Pastor, that's awfully strict. That's awfully severe. Good for nothing." Well, friends, that is not my opinion. That is the opinion of the captain of our salvation. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew for a moment, chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. If we cannot take the word of God with skill and lead a soul to Jesus Christ, a friend, as a Christian, we are good for nothing. Matthew chapter 5, notice with me verse number 13. Thank you for turning with me there. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Why don't we read this verse aloud on two, shall we? 1, 2. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You see, salt is meant to make an impact. Salt is meant to affect that which it touches, that which it is surrounded by. Salt makes an impact for the better. And you see, as Christians, if we are not making an impact with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us we are thenceforth good for nothing. We are good for nothing. How much is God able to use us? He says, not at all. Not at all. And just like unsalty salt is good for nothing and is thrown out the window as garbage and is trodden under the foot of men, that is what happens to the average Christian man who is not surrendered to God, who is entangled with the affairs of this life, and that God cannot use because they are not skilled in the Word of God. May God challenge us this morning to be mighty men for God. Amen? Amen. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. How well can we use the Bible? Well, in order to be skilled, God has some wonderful helps in the Christian life. Can I encourage you, men? The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, God says, not. He says, don't do this. This is a commandment of God. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. You see, the Lord says, especially in the last days, the day in which we live, we need to be in the house of God. Why? To be exhorted by our fellowship in the Word of God, to be built up by God. You see, in order to be skillful in the Word of God, God has a place of training. It is called the local Bible-believing church. It is called the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. That is the only institution that Jesus Christ is building today. Why? Because He said so. The Lord said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And it's within the local New Testament church that we are trained, that we make disciples, that we baptize, that we teach all things whatsoever the Lord has commanded us, including how to lead a soul to Jesus Christ. If you've been at Coastline Baptist Church for any length of time and you don't know how to lead a soul to Christ, friend, I dare say you've missed some services. You've missed the opportunities. Now, the opportunities will come again. On Wednesday night this year already, we've gone through a series on soul winning. How we can lead a soul to Christ. Last year we looked at a series on how to personally memorize verses and take the Bible and sit down with someone who is seeking the Lord. We're continuing to press on in training men and young men and ladies to be passionate witnesses. But let me ask you this morning, men, where are you when the doors are open? Friend, if you are not highly skilled in the Word of God, you need to make a commitment to be in the house of God. Amen? If you are not in the house of God, you are missing out. And God won't be able to use you. See, it takes a commitment to become skilled. It takes a commitment. The Bible says, he that is faithful in little is faithful in much. Maybe you're here this morning and you want to serve. Maybe you're here this morning and you desire to be a part of the Lord's work. Well, let me ask you this morning, are you a member of Coastline Baptist Church? What a dangerous word to say in 2016. I'm sorry it slipped out of my mouth. Amen. Church membership. You see, the Word of God never changes. And God's plan is always in line with the work of God. If you and I are not in line with the Word of God and obedient to His way, we will miss out on being used. We will be good for nothing. You see, God's work is always done through His local church. God's work is always done as we strive together for the faith of the gospel. That is local church doctrine. But the question is, where are our men? Men, are you members of this church? Are you surrendered to the place that God has put you in this city? You see, it takes some commitment. And friend, if we haven't worked out the basic matter of church membership, then we are definitely off track. That is a basic truth of the Christian life. There are many who refuse to become members. Why? Because they don't want to be told what to do. And you can say amen. People don't want to be told what to do, and therefore they wonder why they're not being asked to serve. At Coastline Baptist Church, we will only use in official ministries those who are committed to the church. And I hope you've seen that by now. You might say, Pastor, there are only a few serving. That's because at this stage there are only a few members. You see, God is looking for some mighty men. Amen. God is looking for some men that will be willing to be used and to be trained up and to be built up in the faith to be used of God. But just like these mighty men of old, you need to be careful to be noticed that they were highly skilled. They were prepared for the battle. They had been trained. They had made commitments. They were disciplined. And they were ready to go. Amen. That's the kind of men that God is looking for today. Let me encourage you, young men, to be willing to be trained. Let me encourage you, young men, to make some commitments for God. Let me encourage you that to become skilled requires a commitment to the house of God. To become skilled requires a commitment to be trained. Men, what are we doing on Saturday afternoons? Well, we set up the hall at 3:30 p.m. It's in your calendars. Every Saturday, same time. And after that, we have men's soul winning. We go into our neighborhood and we knock on doors and we share with people you and I would not otherwise meet. We share with them the wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We engage in spiritual warfare. And we go out into the highways and byways with the Word of God. And we share it lovingly and passionately and urgently with our community. That is a training session for men. Men, where are you on a Saturday afternoon? Where are the young men that would say, look, I don't know how God can use me, but if He can use a bumbling fool like the Apostle Peter, He can use me too. And if He can allow me to follow Him, and I have that privilege, God can help me and train me and use me in a mighty way. Peter's just one example. But friends, we have no excuses. Men, where are you on a Saturday afternoon? Are you willing to be trained? Now, let us understand, just like these mighty men of old, training takes some commitment. The ability to use the left and the right hand as well as each other did not come naturally. They weren't just born with this skill. Friend, no Christian is born with a skill in soul winning. No Christian is born again with an innate ability to just speak the Scripture without being learned in the Word of God, without becoming skilled, without knowing where to go in God's Word to answer common questions, without being filled with the Spirit and obedient to the Word of God. That's the kind of man that God uses. That's the kind of man that God is looking for. But men, are you willing to make a commitment? Every Saturday afternoon, I'm available to take at least one man out to train soul winners for the Lord. And some have gone out, thank the Lord, and the women are going more than the men are on Wednesday. That's why this message is for the men, amen. But where are the men? It will take commitment. It will take time to be trained. But men, God can use you. And He's looking for mighty men of God this morning. The question is, do you want to be used? Time, sacrifice, discipline. That is what it takes to become a soldier in the army of God. You see, these ones that came to David to be helpers in the battle were mightily used of God because they were highly skilled in warfare. I trust you've been challenged already, men, to be trained. to stay where God has put you and to move forward in the will of God for your life, to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Well, 2 points this morning. Firstly, they were highly skilled. Secondly, also notice that they were fit for the battle. Thank you for turning with me back to 1 Chronicles chapter number 12 and verse 8. They were not only highly skilled, but they were fit for the battle. They were fit for the battle. What can we learn from this truth in verse number 8? The Bible tells us in verse 8, "And of the Gadites, there were separated themselves unto David into the hold, to the wilderness, men of might." These two were mighty men. What does God say about these ones? "And men of war fit for the battle." What made them fit for the battle? The Bible says that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as roes upon the mountains. You see, the Bible tells us about these mighty men, another aspect for us to notice, that they were fit for the battle. What made them fit for the battle? Well, God describes to us their ability to fight in that they could handle shield and buckler. Now, a buckler in this verse was a weapon like a javelin, a spear, and that was what they used for attack. And a shield, as you may well know, is a weapon used for defense. So the Bible tells us that these men were mightily used of God, not only because they could use the left and the right hand, but one hand they could attack with and the other they could defend with. They could attack and defend at the same time. And that was a skill that was highly valuable and mightily used in God's purpose in that day. They were fit for the battle because not only could they attack, but they could defend at the same time. And this was vital for every soldier in the battle. Now, already we've been challenged by the need to be skilled in the Word of God, to use the Word of God to lead a soul to Jesus Christ. But we also need to be careful not to forget the importance of defense. You see, it's one thing to know how to take the Bible and be a witness, but it's another thing to be able to use the Word of God, as the Apostle Paul said, to keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means I myself, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. You see, the Apostle Paul, time and time again, warned the people of God that not only do we need to be witnesses for the Lord, but we need to know how to defend against the enemy within. And yes, Christians, there is an enemy without. Yes, the devil is like a raging lion, seeking whom he may devour. But we need to remember the moment we get saved, we have a new spirit, the Spirit of God, but that sinful old flesh, that old man is still present. The sinful nature that wars against the Spirit within. We need to know how to take the Word of God, men. If we are going to be mightily used of God, we need to know how to take the Word of God to defend against the enemy within. Notice Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17 for a moment. Are you still with me this morning?
Yes.
Jeremiah chapter 17. Notice what the Bible tells us in verse 9. You see, there is an enemy within. We need to know how to defend, not just attack, to defend, and use our spiritual defenses. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful above, what are the next words? All things. Now, does that mean more deceitful than the devil? Ask yourself the question. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? David was a man after God's own heart. He had a heart for God. This verse is speaking about the unregenerate man, the unsaved man, the sinful nature that resides within the born-again believer, the old flesh, the old man, the old ways. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And fathers and men and young men this morning, we have an enemy within. We have an enemy that is warring against God. Now the battle has already been won. Thank God at the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ shed His holy blood. And He broke the power of Satan. He broke the power of sin. He broke the curse of sin. So that whenever a person turns to Jesus Christ as Savior, they experience the victory over sin and death and hell. And yes, we are indeed dead unto sin. Sin no longer has power over our lives. Sin no longer controls our lives. We can now enjoy the liberty that is in Christ Jesus and live to please God. Thank God for that wonderful privilege. But you see, that old man is still there. That old nature is still there. I've often used the illustration of the old nature being like the old landlord. Imagine if you were renting an apartment and there was a landlord which treated you horribly. And he was a nuisance. He was a menace. When you were away from home, he'd come in and wreck the furniture. He would demand double payment for your rent. And if you didn't pay on time, he would threaten to kick you out. He would torment you. He would cause you to suffer. He would persecute you. But one day, a miracle took place. A new landlord bought out the old landlord. He bought the house. He bought the building, amen. And he took control and he allowed you to live in that apartment for free. He cleaned up the apartment. He replaced the furniture with new furniture. Amen? You can probably figure out who I'm speaking about. He changed our life. And we rejoice in the wonderful gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. But one day, you realized that old landlord came knocking back at the door. And I remember getting saved thinking I would never sin again. I remember thinking that sin is gone, it's been paid for, that means I will never sin again. I was wrong. I didn't know my Bible very well. You see, one day I realized that the old man came knocking back at the door, tempting me back into the old ways. Now, you see, just like the old landlord has no power over our lives, we can yield to him if we choose. By his threatenings, by his persecution, by his taunting and temptations, we can give in to the old flesh, the old sinful nature. Though it's been broken at the cross, if we choose to, we can give in. And the Bible tells us we are in a spiritual warfare, not only without us, but also within us. The flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other. Men, who is winning the battle this morning within? If you want to be mightily used of God, men and young men, we need to understand how to use our spiritual defenses to overcome the enemy within. Would you agree? For the next few moments this morning, let us look at a few more verses. You see, these were mightily skilled in battle because they could not only attack, but they could defend. We dare not ignore the enemy within. We need to know how to guard against our own sinful flesh. 2 Corinthians, please, chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. Wonderful verses of promise to be lived out by faith. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. Men, if you are struggling with a sin problem in your life right now, here is the promise of God for you and I. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Notice verses 4 and 5. The Bible says in verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." We are not in a physical battle. The enemy within cannot be put down, suppressed by physical weapons. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." You see, we are in a spiritual warfare. Now let me ask the question this morning. According to these verses, where is that warfare taking place? Casting down in verse 5, what's the next word? Imaginations. Men, the war is taking place in your mind, in your thought life. The sinful nature works within. How does he defeat us? He defeats us by causing us to dwell on sinful imaginations. You see, the battle is taking place in our mind. If you and I as men just focus on knowing the gospel and being skilled in the word and knowing how to lead a soul to Jesus Christ, but we don't protect home base, if we don't know how to defend ourselves with the word of God, we are in big trouble. Paul said, I can preach to others, but if I don't beat down that old sinful flesh, then I myself will be a castaway. I'll be good for nothing. I'll become shipwreck. That's what the Apostle Paul says. You see, we need to know how to defend and attack at the same time. We need to understand that the Word of God is necessary in our own personal lives. See, as men, we all battle with daily thoughts, do we not? There is not one man present this morning or lady here today that doesn't battle with thoughts of the mind. Sinful thoughts. Thoughts that are not of God. Now, what do we do when those thoughts come? Do we simply turn on the TV? That's how many Christians temporarily solve the problem. And they end up injecting more sinful imaginations into their mind. Distractions cannot help. What does God say? Those imaginations, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, can be cast down. Those walls that have been built up by sin, those fortresses of sin in our lives, in our thought life, those fortifications of sin, those sin thoughts, those sin habits can be brought down by God. They can be brought down by the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal. They can be pulled down. Those strongholds of sin can come crumbling down to the ground by the power of God. The question is, are we skillful in defending ourselves against the sinful nature within? Men, are we able to do that? Are we becoming disciplined in using the Word of God to say no to sin? Notice the encouragement of the psalmist in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. How can we possibly defend against the imaginations that often consume our thoughts each day? The sin problems, the habits. Psalm 119, thank you for turning with me there. Notice verse number 9. Men, notice verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can that be possible? How can we cleanse our thoughts from all unrighteousness? How can we have a clean mind? How can we prepare, be fit for the battle like these mighty men of old? Verse number 9 tells us how, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Notice verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You see, it is once again the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, that has the power to cast down those imaginations, that has the power to say no to sin. That the Word of God, once we allow His Word to sink deep down into our lives, has the power to cast down those imaginations. You see, as a soldier, we need to be skilled in the Word of God to reach the lost, to contend for the faith. But likewise, we need to be soldiers who are skilled in defending against the enemy within. But once again, fathers, men, young men, and Christians this morning, that will take some time. That will take some discipline. The psalmist said in verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart. That verse means to bury God's word deep down into your heart. It means taking the Word of God skillfully and purposely and specifically and applying it to your daily life. That means memorizing the Word of God. That's what it practically means. How can I gain victory over the sinful flesh within that rages against God each day, that fills my thoughts with wicked minds, while we cast our imaginations down with the very Word of God? Amen. The question is, how many men here this morning have memorized scripture verses that deal with the sin problems in their lives? Amen. Amen. What a forgotten discipline of the Christian life. And I dare say that's why many men this morning are not fit for the battle for the Lord. That's why many men this morning are not engaged in spiritual warfare, because not because of the enemy that is without, but because of the enemy that's within has beaten you down and you're discouraged. You might say this morning, Pastor, I can't serve God because you don't know the sin problem in my life. Friend, God doesn't want you to stay there. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We already have the victory in Christ, but we need to claim it each day. By the power of His blood, we can apply the Word of God and say no to sin. That means if I have a problem with the things that I look at, by temptations that I can see on the street and in this wicked, immoral city of Cairns, as it gets warmer, the clothes will become less and less, and men around this city, Christian men, will be tempted. What do? Well, we take the Word of God and we use the Word of God to cast down wicked imaginations. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." David the psalmist said this. He said, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes." Why? "Because I hate the work of them that turn aside to wickedness. It shall not cleave unto me." That's a memory verse. In fact, there are two. Those are two memory verses, men, to memorize when a filthy image comes across your sight. Now, it's not sinful to see something wicked. It's sinful to look back again. That's the sin. Every day, wicked things will pass before our eyes. And you see, the man who is disciplined in memorizing the Word of God to deal specifically with the sin problems they know they're struggling with can quote the Word of God in a time of temptation and cast down those imaginations before they take root in the heart. You see, that is a spiritual discipline of a mighty man of God who is fit for the battle. And I dare say for all of us here this morning, whether male or female, this is a lost discipline of the Christian life. Memorizing the Word of God. Memorizing the Word of God. Not just generally, but specifically. Listen, if you're spending time in the Word of God, God will show you the sins you're struggling with. He shows me the sins I'm struggling with. And then He gives me verses in the Bible, not just to be read over, but to be memorized and to be brought to mind at the moment of attack. Scripture memory. Memorizing the Word of God. See, but if you want to be mightily used of God, you need to be fit for the battle. God can't use you if you are consumed with your own sin. He can't use you. He cannot use a Christian who is not dealing with the sin problems in their lives. And friends, that does not mean that God says you do it on your own. Not by any means. It is only through God's grace alone that we can experience the victory. It's only through God's help, His supernatural enabling, but that's why He gave us the supernatural Word of God. If we are not using the sword of the Spirit, how can we expect to have victory? Some of you men are consumed with anger. And the reason you're not going out door knocking is because one day someone said they didn't like you when you shared the gospel. So now you're angry and you're bitter. Maybe there are relationships in your life that you are angry about. And you're not dealing with your anger biblically. You think it's okay when God says it's sin. Young men, you think it's okay to glance at a little bit of pornography now and then when God calls it an abomination. And you are crippled in your Christian life because of sin. Bitterness. How many men today are consumed by bitterness? Bitterness that they will not let go of. I will not forgive. I will not apologize. I will not forget. And yet the Lord says, we are to forgive others as He has forgiven us. Amen. We are to put the Word of God down into our lives. There is no way that you and I can stand as a Christian today if we are not disciplined in the Word of God. If we are not memorizing the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3 says, we don't need to turn there, but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Yes, you can be a mighty man of God. And that's why God has given us His inspired Word. But the question is, are you using the Word of God? Are you applying to your life what you hear on Sunday? Are you just a hearer of the Word? Or are you a doer, man? The difference is being useless or being used. Being consumed and crippled by sin, or being a mighty man of God. Young men, any fool and any pervert can look at pornography. But it takes a man of God to say no to sin. Amen. And parents, you can say amen. Our young people are consumed with pornography today, and there needs to be some men in this church that are willing to set an example before their families, that are willing to take the higher ground of the Word of God and say no to sin. And there is pornography on your TV screen, dads, that needs to disappear. It's not just in the news agencies or on the internet. No, it's on the TV, in the way girls dress, in the scantily-clad women of the world. Some of your sons are watching. That is filthy to God. But you see, it takes a man of God to put down the Word of God into their lives and say, I'm going to take a stand in my home. Why? Because we are in a spiritual warfare. We are in the battle, men. But where are the men this morning? You see, the men in David's day were fit for the battle. They could be used in a great way because they made some choices to be committed, disciplined. It took time. It took sacrifice. But God records them in the mighty Word of God to declare to us some spiritual truths. As we close this morning, if we allow the Lord to work in our lives, to not only be able to use God's Word to reach out, but use God's Word to defend against the sinful flesh, what ought to we expect from the Lord? Notice 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 8 to close. Let's close with verse number 8. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 8. Here are those that could attack and defend at the same time. Notice verse number 8. How does God describe these mighty men? The Bible says that in 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 8, at the end of the verse, whose faces were like the faces of what? Lions. And were as swift as the roes upon the mountains. You see, if you and I put the Word of God down into our lives, what will that result in? That will result in a boldness for God. Their faces were like lions. That's the description of boldness. Their feet were swift as roes. That's a description of their faith. You see, they were bold in their faith. They were bold in their works for God because they were able to attack and defend at the same time. Now the question is this, men. Are you skilled in the Word of God? Are you daily saying no to the flesh by using the sword of the Spirit? Amen. Friend, if you and I do not, we will not have boldness in our faith. But if we do, if we are disciplined in the Christian life, we can be bold in our lives. We can say no to sin. We can fight the good fight of faith that is set before us. We can be used of God. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us about Esau. Among those in Hebrews 11, Esau could have been included. But he is the one example in Hebrews chapter 12 that God gives us of someone who dropped out of the race. And God cautions us about Esau. Esau experienced the chastening hand of God. And he didn't respond spiritually. And he became bitter and angry at his family. He became bitter, men, at those around him, at his brother. And he quit the race. And he fell into vile, perverse immorality. That's what happened to Esau. And men, that's what will happen when you and I hold on to bitterness in our life. It is a seed, a poisonous seed that spreads. If we don't deal with our hearts spiritually, we're in big trouble. And Christians, men, where are you this morning? Are you fit for the battle? Are you helpers in the war? Do you desire to be a mighty man of God? I trust you do. I trust you do. But sin will cripple us from within, weaken our knees. It will make our hands feeble in the work of God. But if you and I choose to put on the whole armour of God, to cast down imaginations with the Word of God, we too can be bold in our faith. We too can have courage in the Lord that only the Lord can give. The fullness of the Spirit of God to be a witness and to experience real, practical victory over our daily thoughts and temptations. Amen. Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "And they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. They were highly skilled. They were fit for the battle. They were mightily used of God." Man, that is our challenge this morning. Fathers, young men, Christian, that is our challenge this morning. We are in a spiritual warfare. Are you prepared to enter into the battle? I trust that you desire to be. Let me encourage you to come back tonight. We're going to look at two more wonderful lessons from this chapter. Why were these men mightily used of God? Well, thirdly, they were men of faith. And then lastly, they were willing to sacrifice. There were some of King Saul's own people, of the tribe of Benjamin, that came to David. And they were willing to put God's honor first above their own family line. Wow, what a lesson for us this morning, of the tribe of Benjamin. Let me encourage you to come back to see their faith and sacrifice this evening. Let me encourage you, men, to make some decisions this morning. Perhaps it's to be committed to the house of God. Perhaps it's to come out soul winning. Perhaps it's to use the Word of God to put down into your life each day, to memorize, to take the time and the effort to memorize the Word of God and the power of God, to attack and to defend in order to be a mighty man of God today.